Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. It's undeniable that breastfeeding a child has many, many great health benefits, but only about 30% of women in the United States do it for the first 6 months of their child's life. And as some women want to breastfeed, they're having issues and they turn to some outside help. But there are also some issues with sharing breast milk. We're going to be talking about that, talking about breastfeeding in general, and we want your questions. Call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And you can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And with me in the studio to talk about the breastfeeding issues, Rachel Jacobs. She's a dietitian at the University of Health System. And also on the line, we have Kim Eptegrove, Executive Director of the Mother's Milk Bank in Austin and President of the Board of Directors for the Human Milk Banking Association of North America. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Well, Rachel, let me ask you, as a dietitian at the University of Health System, and recently the UT Health Systems launched their own like a breast milk bank. Why would women go to a breast milk bank? What's the problem there?
Yeah, so David, I'm actually the registered dietitian in our neonatal intensive care unit, our NICU. We're actually launching a referral milk bank program, meaning that we're going to be going through another company. The company's name is Prolacta Bioscience. We've actually been doing research and studies with them for the last 10 years in terms of the benefits of premature babies receiving 100% human milk-based diet. So in this referral milk bank program, we can actually, you know, moms who find that they have been breastfeeding or providing breast milk for their infants and their children may find that they end up having excess breast milk, or in circumstances where, you know, they might have to change diets because of their infant not tolerating a certain, you know, milk protein in their diet, and then all of a sudden have, you know, excess breast milk, you know, prior to changing their diets, might find that they can't utilize this breast milk. So then at what point, what can they do with it? And that's why we felt it was important to start this referral milk bank program, because there is this population with premature infants that, you know, research and literature supports that they benefit and reduce incidence of, you know, necrotizing enterocolitis, which is a devastating intestinal disease, by receiving only human milk. So, you know, by going through and donating their breast milk through a reliable source, through a milk bank, you know, going through a system that's screening their breast milk and pasteurizing it, making it safe for these infants, we found that it was important to, you know, have this, available for our community and the moms in our community.
So, Kim Eptegrove, what are the benefits of breastfeeding? What do you tell women who say, I don't know if I should or if I shouldn't? Explain to them what they need to know.
The research is actually irrefutable that human milk is best for human babies. The immediate benefits for any human baby are a maturity of the gut, a protection against infection, and then a long-term protection against allergies and cardiovascular disease, obesity, and an improvement in IQ. The benefits for the mom, though, are also present, and those are protections from certain cancers, such as ovarian and breast cancer, and protection against diabetes for themselves. There's a very interesting side effect of breastfeeding, and that is that breastfeeding actually burns calories. So moms who are interested in losing their pregnancy weight and reducing their size actually have the benefit while they're feeding their baby. Most importantly, though, and Rachel has referred to this, are the benefits of breast milk for the preterm population. While human milk is best for all babies, it is life-saving to those babies who are born very, very small. Those small babies whose organs are not yet mature enough to handle any other substance other than human milk benefit tremendously from that milk, especially when given to those babies who are really under 3.5 pounds.
And the mothers who typically have premature babies, they're going to have a tough time providing that natural breast milk.
Moms of preterm babies have the hardest time providing breast milk, actually, and it has to do with the reason why they've given birth early. They may have given birth early because of diseases such as preeclampsia or pregnancy-induced hypertension. They may be on some medications that make their breast milk not appropriate for their child. Additionally, the stress of having a child in the neonatal intensive care unit works negatively against the ability to create an adequate supply of human milk.
Our phone lines, if you want to jump in this conversation, you've got a question about breastfeeding, please call. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. So, Kim Updegrove, Executive Director of Mother's Milk Bank in Austin, we still have some issues every once in a while we read about in the media of some woman who was told to not breastfeed in public. I know we've come a long way in my lifetime on this, but still, do we still have a long way to go in educating the public?
We do have a long way to go, actually, before breastfeeding is completely acceptable in public. We are a society that hasn't embraced breastfeeding, whether in public or in private, and rather has sexualized breasts. And because of that, it's been difficult to reverse that and have the public accept that women should be feeding their infants on demand, wherever that infant happens to be with that mom. We have state laws that protect a woman's ability to feed her baby wherever she and her baby are welcome to be. But we have monthly examples of restaurants and stores and businesses who have asked a mom to move from the public space where she's feeding her child and instead to head off to a restroom, which is a very common place to send a mom to breastfeed in private. The irony, of course, is that none of us eat our meals in the restroom, so why would we ask a mom to feed her child there?
So we heard the statistic that about 30% of the women who will breastfeed their child for the first 6 months of the child's life. So let me ask you, Rachel, why so low?
I think it's kind of the things that Kim had mentioned, just recently in her response, in the sense that, I think it's the awareness, the support, and I think it's growing. I think a lot of these moms we find, and just the ability for the workforce to, provide lactation rooms or rooms for these moms when they do go back to work, that they can continue to breastfeed, providing breast milk.
They can go back to work and they can pump.
Right, they can pump, exactly, and provide that breast milk.
And then they can have that breast milk ready at home for the caretaker, who could still use that rather than formula.
Correct.
And they'll still get all the good stuff, benefits.
The optimal nutrition for their baby, correct.
Okay, yeah. Okay. We're going to continue this conversation. We're talking about breastfeeding. We want to talk about breast milk bank that we have here at the University Health System, talk about some of the issues that are popping up with people who are buying or trading or whatever breast milk online. There's some questions about that. People need to know about that. And we want to hear from our listeners. Call in. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And really, the takeaway behind the show is that, this is a completely 100% natural and beautiful thing, and no one should ever prevent a mom and a child from having another one being able to do this. Anyway, we're going to be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. A growing body of research shows for sure that human milk is the best source of nutrition for premature babies and all babies. Unfortunately, not all mothers of those preemies can provide milk or enough milk to adequately meet the needs of their child. And so the University Health System has come up with a referral donor breast milk program. We're talking about that. We're also talking about some of the things you need to know about breast milk that is donated or sold online. Sometimes that milk is tainted, according to a new study. We're talking about that with Rachel Jacobs. She's a dietitian from the University Health System, and Kim Undergrove, Executive Director of the Mother's Milk Bank in Austin and the President of the Board of Directors for the Human Milk Banking Association of North America. So, Rachel, over at the University Health System, explain how this system works. How does It's a referral system. What does that mean?
So by saying that, the referral milk bank program, meaning that we've partnered with Prolacta Bioscience. It's actually a company that ensures and provides safe, standardized, steady supply of breast milk, pasteurized donor breast milk for premature infants. We've actually been in there. You know, their goal is to provide 100% human milk nutrition for the fragile, you know, premature infant. We've been using their product now for almost going on 10 years because our goal at university and our NICU is that infants, to support what research has published, that infants, you know, born less than, you know, around 3 pounds really benefit from 100% human nutrition. Also, at some point, we'll need some sort of fortification on top of either the breast milk or donor breast milk that they're getting. And by using our Prolacta, Bioscience also provides a human milk fortifier, and it's the only human milk fortifier that's derived from human milk. So that way we can ensure that we're providing our babies with 100% human milk. So with that being said, our referral milk bank program is that if a mom is interested in donating her breast milk, she can go to donateyourbreastmilk.com. It'll pull up university's website, and there will be two sections, one just to get more information if the mom is interested in trying to figure out, you know, how the process works, and then another section saying apply now, and it'll start her application process where Prolacta will then screen, you know, do an online application. They then send somebody to mom's home after she's done that online application to get a blood draw and then also a DNA test, like a swab. Then that information gets sent to Prolacta. They run all that, and that's part of the screening test for, you know, if a mom will become a qualified donor. And then once they've screened that, and it's a pretty strict, stringent screening process, then once they've screened that, then they'll contact mom, tell mom, you know, how, you know, that everything was good and everything went through, and that they'll send the shipment material to mom's house with instructions on how to package her breast milk. And then she calls FedEx. The company then sends, you know, somebody to her house to pick up the shipment, and then it's actually shipped to California, where then they follow through with the pasteurization process. And how they make their donor breast milk or the human milk fortifiers that I mentioned earlier that we can use in, you know, neonatal intensive care units.
Wow, very thorough. Sounds like people being screened, making sure that they're healthy and that they understand the diet requirements,
right,
and all
right.
That. Let's get some callers on the air. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And Alice is on the line. Alice, welcome to The Source.
Thanks so much. I am a mother of three, and I breastfed all of my children. And so I just wanted to kind of comment and voice some support for what your researchers there and have said about how our culture sort of condemns and fetishizes women and their breasts in public. What I guess, you know, what our culture really values is, or sometimes values, is productivity and time. And I think that it's an important point to make about how much time and effort goes into breastfeeding for women. And that's one of the reasons, you know, why it is so hard for women to keep up once they go back to work. But if you think about a baby who nurses, you know, 8 to 10 times a day, and it might take an hour each time to get that baby to latch on properly and, you know, nurse from both sides until the baby's full, you know, that's 8 to 10 hours a day that a woman is feeding a child. That's a full-time job on top of, you know, the work that she's doing at home or the work that she's doing out in the public. And so I think it's important for our society to understand how much effort goes into that. And I think that the milk banks are a wonderful idea. They're a great opportunity. As someone who pumped and who saved her milk for whatever whatever the occasion arose, I would guard that milk like it was gold. You know, there, we did not throw it away. We did not pour it down the sink. It was extremely valued. And so for women to be able to donate their milk in that kind of way, I think is extremely valuable and validating for breastfeeding mothers.
Okay, Alice, thank you for those comments. Appreciate it. So, Kim Updegrove, what do you think when you hear Alice talking?
I think that Alice should be applauded, actually. Alice, you've nailed it on the head about why we have only a 30% rate of women breastfeeding through 6 months of age. The issue is that it takes a lot of time and energy to breastfeed an infant, and it is the sole responsibility of the mother. It's an extension of pregnancy, if you will. We think about preconception as a time when we work on making our bodies as healthy as possible. And then, of course, we have 9.5 months pregnancy, and then we give birth. And what we haven't recognized well in this country is that there's another whole year after that where the mother is really very attached to the infant in terms of being that sole source of nutrition. The maternity leave policies of employers in the U.S. have not recognized this well. The average leave is about 6 weeks. And so when you talk about that full-time job, as you describe it, of feeding your infant, it really is going to take a more European-style approach to employment for women, where we extend that maternity leave through a year before we're going to see a major change in that percentage of women who successfully breastfeed over time.
Yeah, European approach. I was reading about how in UK there's a pilot program where they're paying women to breastfeed their children to increase the percentage of women who do.
That's true. I've read that as well, and I think it's unfortunate to resort to paying them. Why not instead do like many of the European countries and give women a year off from their employment so that they can take care of their families?
Okay, let's get some more callers on the air. The number is 614-8980, and Catherine is on the phone. Catherine, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. My son is 10 months old. My understanding is that my body is continuing to update the milk that it produces for him at his best age. And I was curious whether the milk banks take that into account when they're matching a donor up with a recipient, or whether it's pretty much any human milk is beneficial at whatever age possible.
Okay, thanks for that call, Catherine. And so, Kim, up the Grove, does that happen?
Yes. So the milk is changing over time. It's changing nutritionally, and it's changing immunologically. Some of the components that are most useful to a preterm infant are decreasing over time. So when a mom is screened and approved by a milk bank, her milk is tested not only bacteriologically to see what kinds of bacteria are present in the milk, but it's tested nutritionally so that we can take a look at how much fat and protein and carbohydrate is in the milk and then match that to the appropriate aged preterm infant. It also means that women who donate to a milk bank only are able to donate their milk up until 1 year after they give birth. And every pool of milk that's dispensed to a baby in a neonatal intensive care unit is pooled with other donors so that we get a variety of components in the milk. We get some high proteins of the moms who are pumping very soon after they deliver birth, and we get some high fat from those who are pumping in the months after that.
So let me ask Rachel from the University Health System. Some people are not going to the milk bank, but they're going online, and they're meeting people on Craigslist, and they're buying breast milk, sometimes for $2,000 for a month's supply. And then there isn't the pasture. I think that may be a highlight for some people. They don't want the pasteurization, but there's not the screening's not there either. So what are some of the concerns about buying milk online?
A huge part of that concern, and it's recent, you know, out in the media, that what they found that moms that were purchasing breast milk from non-regulatory resources, you know, just online, is that even still that breast milk, you know, was high in certain bacteria, in certain, certain things that might be concerning to be given to, you know, a preterm, term infant that is not your own. So those were where the concerns came from and why it would be important to go through a reliable source, making sure that that milk is being screened and being pasteurized.
Okay, one more caller to get on the air. Carol, you're on the air on The Source. Go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to call in and support what we're talking about here. I have three children, and I nursed all three of mine. The first one was easiest because I was only working part-time. the other two were a little harder. I was a full-time worker at the time, and I used the breast pump. And, you know, I stuck with it. It's difficult at times, you know, especially using the breast pump. But
you stuck with it, and you did it. And congratulations, because when you see that 30% did it, that means that the 30% who did it, I mean, you got to admire them a little bit. So, Carol, thank you so much for calling in. I also want to thank my guests for coming in here today, Rachel Jacob, dietitian, University Health Science System, and Kim Updegrove, executive director of Mother's Milk Bank in Austin. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.